You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Detectives, there's a local man who reported a body in the river.
Does Barrow Creek get many body parts lodged inside dead reptiles?
Wait, what's with this? Get out. You look like a beachy mortician. You need to get involved with this. Moisture wicking, hammerhead, shark on the back.
Yep.
What are you doing here?
We're trying to solve a high-profile murder.
He's dead to me.
Yeah, he's dead to everybody because he's dead. This is a classic territorial dispute. Between Lana Crocs.
G'day, g'day, g'day.
And the Darrells. My family run this town. Hey, you rock off! Grandma, bud!
I'm back with my work, Mum.
Oh, your team is assembled.
Oh my God, Leo.
Sorry, I've been wearing bright colours to make my lurking less paranormal, but it's not working.
You hadn't seen him for 2 days?
Oh, we're not like you city people.
We can go weeks without talking to each other.
It's called being a family.
We haven't got time to let this drag out, do you understand?
What is that?
Nothing here is ever black and white.
Did your mum say she found anything else in that crop?
Yeah.
What was it?
Come on!
This community deserves answers.
Your sense of justice is my favourite thing about you, aside from your perfect clip.
Have a look at the pair of you, eh? Shetland pony and a lesbian giraffe. It's like a Disney film come to life.
G'day, cunts, and how you all going?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Right, right into it.
Fucking straight in, how you going? How's it fucking going there?
I feel really uncomfortable just looking around because Jill is currently, like, you know, looking spectacular with beautiful hair and everything.
Sure.
And I cannot bring myself to say, g'day, cocks and cunts, what's going on?
Except you just did. So thanks for that.
Sorry.
I mean, there's one thing you've got to get over in this particular television show is the liberal use of the word cunt.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I find refreshing in this day and age that as an Australian, I can still go, that's a lot of use of the word that you're using just there, everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've never been to the NT. No.
So you're not going to see you in the NT?
I might. Like, this could be enough to convince me to go to the NT.
I got to say, I did quite like the setting. I thought it looked... Actually, I was going to say, I thought it looked nice, but no, it looked fucking hot.
It's a big change. Who's been to the NT? Anyone here been to the NT? Peter. Well, you're leading the charge today as the only person who's been to the Northern Territory. Is this an adequate representation of crocodiles in that situation?
Crocodiles in that situation? Yes. I'm spending a lot of my time at the moment looking at crocodiles. I basically only look at crocodiles. Looking at crocodiles is my entire life. I was really freaked out when I started watching this and I was like, am I still at work? Where's
money? He's just having a minty bee going, I swear I left work. I'm still looking at it. But there's more dick bums in this show.
Significantly more. And yes, there are a lot of NT in jokes.
And well, I mean, look, okay, you know, do we have a recap of Deadlock? Do we remember what we rated Deadlock when we went back in the first season?
Oh,
what
that's
is Deadlock?
A very good
Who wrote Deadlock? Point? Where did Deadlock come from? Why is it called Deadlock? And why is Chicken Feed not back into the...
Well, you know, you can't have everything.
No, you can't.
Sorry, I've only done the synopsis for this season, so I didn't think I needed to actually do like a whole, you know, recovery of...
We did season one, Deadlock, which is a crime mystery. It put Eddie and Dulcie together in Tasmania, where they were, where there seemed to be a lot of lesbians for some reason. And now they've moved back, they moved to the Northern Territory where Eddie and Dulcie are.
I mean, that is the synopsis I was about to read you, but I just didn't realize you wanted to talk about the first season as much as we are.
I was just asking the questions. I'm just a commentator. Right. I don't have opinions.
Okay.
I just ask questions.
I will say that I just looked up our original review. Yes. We overall gave it about 80%. You know, like as a bunch of numbers in the relatively mid to high 80s. But I do quite like it because we called Deadlock the home of Yeah Noir.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Like I'm I don't know who said that, but I'm very proud of you, whoever you are.
Collectively, we're all calling it Yeah Noir. Yeah. What would this be then? This isn't really a Yeah Noir. This is which one of you cunts did it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not who done it. Which cunt done it?
Yeah. Oh dear. Apologies for that. I've completely ruined this. The highbrow level that you've come to expect from all of this. And hello to everyone in the chat too. That's right. Yay. Saying hi.
Yeah. If you were here not expecting us to swear as much as we have been tonight and drop C-bombs like they're going out of fashion.
Oh, 10 minutes in and we're already just throwing shit everywhere.
Yeah. Sorry.
Nah, no apologies.
But anyway, Jill, Pete, how the hell are you guys?
I'm going all right. Thanks. Yeah.
Good on you.
I'm drowning in crocs personally. So,
so are you? Do you have a fear of crocs at all, Pete? Do you respect them? Like,
I have a very rational fear of crocs. Yes.
Right.
We should all have a rational fear of crocs. They're extremely important apex predators and very amazing creatures and extremely dangerous. Don't fuck with them.
No.
So So you're not going to end up running a boat tour up a river in Darwin feeding crocs?
I when I work with on crocodile material, I end up having all crocodile anxiety dreams all the time. I dream that I've fallen into the South Alligator River and can't get out, and they're all just coming for me.
Amazing. Jesus. Oh, so you're having your very own Captain Hook PTSD in regards to crocodiles.
Tick, 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 tick. Yep.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
It's got dark very quickly. Anyway, season 2 is a lighthearted look at crime in the Northern Territory. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So, look, I think we can all say we enjoyed Deadlock season 1.
Absolutely.
According to the numbers we did.
Surprisingly so. I do remember being very reluctant to watch it and being quite perturbed in the beginning, but then growing to love it.
Yeah.
Yes, it took much so.
It took a little bit because of the style of show, the characters in there took a little bit to latch on, and very much enjoyed Kate McLennan and Kate McCartney. McLennan and McCartney.
The Kates.
In their foray after they went and did, like, television.
For the catering show.
The catering show and then their other one, which was like a morning show kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one. And then they came out with Deadlock, which was great because it had really interesting, very natural dialogue.
Get Kraken, that's the one.
Yeah, Get Kraken. But, you know, it had these things, and after a little while, yeah, I think we all kind of went, oh, Deadlock's really fun. And then when they were like, oh, we're moving to the NT, I'm like, well, that's going to be interesting. And then I forgot about it completely. And then it turned up, and I was like, oh, shit, Deadlock's back. And then I watched it, and I binge-watched the whole fucking thing. And was like, this is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen on Australian television because it got even more authentic. I don't know where they got people from. They all looked exactly like actual Australians. And sounded like them, and the dialogue was like them, and everyone acted like it.
Yes. See, I find it funny because, like, the first season I was really into, and I think I was kind of pushing everybody, hey, we've got to watch this, because it was set in Tasmania. And so I was like, hey, look at this little thing that's set in Tasmania. Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
And I'm the same as you, Jill. Like, first season, like, first little bit, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, Eddie comes in, and I'm like, that's a lot.
The humor is weird and it's very dry.
Mm. Yeah. And but also really broad in some ways, like, you know, Eddie as a character is big swings. Like, she is, you know, really going all out for it. Either you get on board with it, or like I was for the first half of the first episode, I was like, I think she's overacting something fierce and this is shit.
She, they. Which is an interesting thing from this season. But I think we all had that reaction in the first episode or two of Deadlock before we kind of acclimated to the idea of an Australian show that is a comedy that is doing, in a way, pushing things almost to the point of caricature, but for a local audience, not for an international audience. And for me, that's the difference. Like, I really find it hard to watch a lot of Australian shows because I don't recognise the characters because they're dog whistling to people who aren't us. They're dog whistling to the American and the British audience who they hope will watch it. Whereas this is just so authentically speaking to locals in so many ways. And I was really interested, Quinny, to like hear the different perspectives, because in season one, you know, you guys are Tasmanians and could kind of tell us
Dion,
about.
Dion rampantly denies it, but
you guys have spent a lot of time in Tasmania and could kind of tell us whether those characters and references were authentic to that place.
Excuse me, yes. I'm from hot racism, not cold racism.
Because I've spent some time in the NT, and like I picked up a lot of in jokes.
Things, because I've never been
so authentically Northern Territorian that I just kind of feel like it's so for the locals that you wouldn't even get some. Like, it's like me watching a Star Wars like retrospective. I only understand the surface stuff and I enjoy that, but there's layers.
So what you're telling me is
Northern Territorian layers in this.
Yeah.
They never wear layers in the Northern Territory. It's too hot.
just one.
But you're telling me that there may be like a Northern Territory nerd out there who would be able to deep dive into some of the deep lore of Deadlock. And then, you know, we'd be gonking them, but whatever the Northern Territory version of a gonk is. No, it's...
I mean, you'll gonk me about crocodiles if you get me into it.
I mean, it's just about, you have to have, you know, it's nothing about us without us. So you have to get a Tasmanian, you have to get someone from the Northern Territory to sort of go, what would this kind of person do in this situation? Is like, oh, they'd be doing circle work. You know, it's like, that's the kind of, you know, little bit of flavor that you need to sprinkle across these to get that real thing. It's like, oh, no, this family will just fight each other over the top of everyone else that they're arguing with at the time. It's like, oh, yeah, right, I get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is Deadlock season two about, Quinny?
That's a very good question. Do we have any musical accompaniment?
Look, you know, I'm just going to try and say yes, and I hope it comes through.
And I know that at this point in time, normally there would be some discussion as to what kind of accent.
Shit accent.
Yeah, but quite frankly, I mean, it's basically got to be just fucking awkward shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And be prepared, this is going to be swearier than normal. Right. After their fucking experience in the small fucking dick-ass coastal town of Deadlock, Dulcie and Eddie have headed to fucking Darwin to start investigating the death of Eddie's former policing partner, fucking Bushy. Jesus, he was a good cunt. But when the body of top-end icon, like a real fucking dead set legend, is discovered in this remote town called bullshit fucking Barra Creek of all fucking places, they are flung into a sweatier, stickier investigation. Shit gets fucking messy. That's right. Sorry. I love that he's just pulling back the curtain. Jill, Peter, and myself can't hear the music.
Come on, you just
Dion just dances.
You just have to have the. That's how you know. That's your visual cue for when the music's going and when the music has come out. And that's when I return normally, right, and nothing else happens.
I assume you got to the bit of the la la la.
Welcome
la, la
to the magic of television.
What?
Back me up here. Yes, and Quinny. Yes, and
yes, yes. No, you're right. The magic of television. In a minute.
Yes. Televideo so, presence. Okay, excellent. How are we going?
Good. Speaking of television, yeah, how did we come to deadlock? What are we? What are, season two? What do we think of it? Like, just like, give me your first appraisal.
Very much like the first season.
Just like hotter.
We got a mystery again, and you know we're following the thread from last season, where, you know, spoiler alert, in case anyone hasn't seen it, we suspect that Bushy did not kill himself, but was in fact murdered. Mm-hmm. So we're off to investigate. Yeah, definitely tonally very similar. We've got a cast of characters.
Yes.
We got. Can I say that we follow more towards after the fact that Eddie and Dulcie in the first season finally gelled together and became friends. Dulcie takes the very out of character move to go with her new friend and her wife to Darwin. Okay. Just up and relocate to Darwin. To begin this whole mystery. And it's not really a relocation because is it a retirement? We're not really sure what's going on. Is anyone officially allowed to do this? I just like that they opened the first episode with like, so we're here and jobless and we're not technically part of the force, but hey.
Can going we to just the water park.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I don't know, Pete, is the water park a really important thing in Darwin? Or
to be honest, I didn't go to the water. I didn't go to any water parks in Darwin, no.
Not enough Crocs for you?
I just don't do water parks.
Oh, right.
I can't comment on that element of the culture.
Yeah, it's an incredibly rude area to go to somewhere that's so hot and muggy, and then they're like, if you go in the water, you'll get eaten.
Yeah.
So we've made a pond here, which is a bit shit.
Predakanga says that it was his sister's 40th birthday on the weekend, and they went to the water park.
Excellent.
Excellent. I'm glad that it's ringing true.
And did you get into a fight? Because that would make it perfect deadlock.
The thing that I love about this is that, like, yes, it's very true to us, you know, and we kind of see characters that we know and we understand, like, the kind of people. But I love that it does actually have international appeal. Because I remember sort of saying, I don't know whether this is going to play outside of Australia, like whether people are going to, you know, get it. Mm-hmm. And I've had friends in America who are like, Deadlock's fucking amazing.
Yeah, you know what I think paved the way for that was Kath and Kim, because that got a really big international audience and kind of had a cult following in the US. So I think that did a lot of the heavy lifting for Deadlock.
Mm. And because it does sit in a really interesting kind of space where it is comedy, but there is enough drama in there and there is actual intrigue and, you know, peril that it does feel like it's sort of hitting into that police procedural kind of.
Yeah, definitely. Like that makes it more palatable for sure. But I think Australia has such a unique style of comedy that it's quite easy to differentiate that it is being, you know, cynical and sarcastic, as well as, you know, having its serious elements.
Yeah.
And look, both seasons have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. There's your indicator.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. So wow. There is an appetite for this kind of absolute rapid fire, like, come on, catch up. You can't worry too much about it. Because I found that as an Australian living in Australia, being aware of the culture, it moves very fast. And if you're not paying attention, it will just keep going and you'll just have to go and you'll get a joke. Like, I think that's one of my favorite things about it, especially in season two, is I loved getting jokes about 10 to 20 seconds later. And I was like, which is great. This is great. It's treating your audience with a certain amount of mental fortitude to be able to continue along with it. But I feel like for an American audience or a separate overseas audience, there's a little bit more of a barrier there. I feel like subtitles would be very welcome.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it still works. It still really, really works.
And I kind of like the idea that we've got this and the sort of a cottage industry almost of like very specific murder mystery style things. Mm. Like if you're going to try and compare it to an American thing, like you've got your sleepy seaside village, almost cozy murder story for the first one. And then the second one is redneck Wonderland, a go-go, this is on the bayou or something like that. And I could see why people are like, oh yeah, I could, there are touchstones there that I understand. Yeah.
It's like going from, what's the fucking place that Stephen King always does stuff? Maine.
Maine.
Yeah. It's like first season was set in Maine. Second season was set in Louisiana.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, the characters are always going to be the thing that are the most engaging, and I don't know who's your favorite out of Eddie or Dulcie.
Oh my God, that's like picking a favorite child. Like I think both have their pros and cons. Like they balance each other out so well. they're both quite enjoyable. I do have to say though that. Kath really turned around for me this season. I found her absolutely infuriating in season one. I could her, but she's definitely dialed back this season. I could.
Yeah.
She's much more delightful this season.
Yeah.
Everyone was delightful this season. I found that they found that balance. Yes. And while Eddie can be a bit infuriating to catch up with, I think, in the first season. I find Dulcie, something about Dulcie, that character, I will get off the fence on that one. Dulcie for me. Because
you're a Dulcie stan?
I'll stand there. I think Kate Box is doing an absolutely wonderful job playing so straight in whirlwinds of crazy that I believe it. I believe that she's just a frustrated actor going, all of these other people are insane. And I'm supposed to be the straight one. So I'm just going to stay by being the straight one, even though it's hurting me inside.
I do think that one of the great like moments of genius in season one is the moment where we come around to the humanness and love Eddie.
Yes.
Because you don't expect that from the beginning. And then suddenly you're low-key almost crying about Eddie. And I think that they carried that arc through into this season quite nicely.
Yeah. And then, no spoilers, but oh my God, they did it again in the end of season two. And I'm like, you sons of bitches, why am I crying?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. They did it quite well.
I think also, like, Dulcie really got to have that arc in this season.
Yeah.
In a way as well, you know, like, I think this season was kind of Dulcie's turn to have that arc where, like, for a little while, you might not actually be on the same page. Mm. As her, as the audience, and you see some more of that real vulnerability come through at some point that kind of hits you in the feels a bit. And I just enjoyed how that kind of mirrored what was happening in season one as well.
Yeah. There's a moment, and I love, there's a thousand moments in there, but there is a moment where one of the recurring characters who I love is Nina Oyama, who plays Abby Matsuda, who is was police,
she was a police constable in the first one.
Constable, that's the word I wanted, thank you.
And now she's forensics.
Yeah, she's sort of been essentially kicked out of the police and is now doing forensics and has this incredibly kind of polite thing that, you know, she's always calling them ma'ams and everything. The moment that she explodes is just the moment that I was just like, oh, God, yes, I'm so on board with this show. Like, because I remember loving season one. And being very excited that there was going to be a season two. And I was like, yep, cool. And then it went away for 2 years. No longer. Shit, 2023 the first one came out, so three years. And, you know, that's a long time between drinks. So you're sort of like, oh, okay. You kind of forget where the characters are and what kind of explosive energy there is. But, yeah, like, I'm still one of my favourite moments is her losing her shit.
Look, you know.
But, I love them all.
We had it's a change of scenery. It's a change of town. They get a better idea of grabbing new people and throwing them in. We get some of Australian acting, I don't know about royalty, but like some great Australian actors that are in there.
The lesser Hemsworths.
The weakest Hemsworth. No, no.
Definitely
unfair.
The smallest.
I'm talking about the joke about the bald ones, which was like, yes, you, Adam, you're the weakest. you know, kind of.
So is Luke going to kill some of the other Hemsworths and take their power?
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. It's Highlandering. That's how they call it. In the trade, but we have people like Steve Bisley coming in, and what's his name? Damien Garvey, who I always love watching him because he's always playing an evil cunt, and in this one, it's like he's very sweet into it.
Yeah, he has my favorite line, and the line that, like, I'm one of those people that I'll be enjoying a show and I will laugh gently at things.
Yeah.
But then if something surprises me, I will rip one of those stupid, loud, idiotic laughs that is just like,
I gotta say, actually, if there's one thing that made me love that character and the series the most, is there's a moment where in character they're filming a scene and he's eating laksa for lunch. And as everyone knows in Darwin, there is the laksa festival that happens in Darwin, which is a lovely little nod. And I love that there's a laksa festival. Anyway, during the eating of that, there is definitely an unscripted moment where a noodle flicks over and a piece of like a little droplet of like chili hot coconut milk hits him in the eye. And he keeps going with that and just like pulls up a napkin going, oh, geez, you know, like that, and then keeps delivering a line and everyone just keeps playing it. And I was like, you could not script it. You could not make that happen or even CGI it. And I just love that it was just a comedic moment where this tiny piece of absolutely burning chili flicks into an actor's eye and they keep going to finish the scene and everyone finishes the scene. And I hope everyone just cheered at the end and went, well done for that, because it added more comedy and it was very funny. Go back and watch it.
Yeah, my favorite moment with him was like quite early on, and he's a new character that we haven't really met, so you're kind of working out who he is and what his relationship with Dulcie and Eddie is going to be, and he seems quite friendly, but like his introduction where he's been talking about what he's doing lately, I've been focusing on self-help and I really got into capoeira. I just fucking lost it. Like that just, I was just like, that is so fucking specific and so weird, and I'm all here for it. And that's like, to me, that's the joy of this show is that it's super specific.
And rapid fire for everyone. Like every character feels like it's written out and the jokes are written in there for them and everyone gets their chance to deliver something that's quite funny. But because there's so much of it, you forget, or you don't have to worry about focus. You know, sometimes you get in shows where it's like, this is the funny joke punchline one where we've got to do things. And that's what the whole thing's built around. No, they just keep throwing stuff out there and some of it hits really well and some of it hits like 20 minutes later. And you're like, oh shit, that was very funny. And that's where we get all of our new phrases like dick bum and hover cunt. Yes, all these phrases will make more sense to you if you watch the show.
Once you've seen it, yes. You will laugh and chortle along. So Jill, favorite characters other than Dulcie or Eddie? Do you have any secondary characters that really set your world on fire?
Not particularly. I did enjoy the newcomer backpack, aka Leo, who is our investigative journalist.
Has
a habit of skulking into a room and shocking people.
I love that thing. It's like, fuck's sake, Leo. Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to have to put a bell around your neck. Yeah. It's like, I stomped in.
Yeah.
Love that character.
Yeah. I love that line where they said that they published the same article about a croc attack, you know, every day for weeks and nobody's even noticed, because that is kind of so NT news.
Perfect.
I enjoyed Leo as well as an addition to the team.
Yeah, I think it was a nice foil for Abby. Like,
yeah,
needed somebody to kind of give her something to really bounce off, mm-hmm. and some kind of hatred or whatever.
I also quite liked our park ranger, who's. I'm going to say whose name I've forgotten. I'm going to be honest. I don't remember any names of any characters.
Is it Alira?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
The girl that worked at the...
The ranger, the park ranger.
Convenience store. Oh,
God, no, I loved the girl that worked at the convenience store.
Oh, the girl at the convenience store is amazing.
No. The park ranger, Eddie's school friend.
I'm trying to find a cast list for season two, which is surprisingly difficult.
Surprisingly, you're right. Alira is the girl who works at the convenience store in a perfect...
At the servo.
A perfect teenager, because it doesn't matter that they're like the Northern Territory or anything like that. They're just a teenager working behind a counter.
Yeah.
And I love it. Here's
the Coke. Oh, I'm on a break now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a younger Zen Gen Z or an elder Gen Alpha character, but whatever it is, it's like it was just a perfect of
I feel
somebody
like
the actress is Shari Sevens, but I can't find the character's name.
I feel like the Kates who written it actually really understood, and I hope it feels like that they were always there to answer a question from an actor about what is my character. It's like, well, we've got you here. This is why you're doing what you're doing, and this is what your character is, and we can talk you through that and help you understand what you're doing on screen, because it felt very much like that. And there has been a few Australian television shows that I'm not going to mention because we're not getting away in that way, that I have watched recently that I've been like, your dialogue is okay, but your delivery is terrible.
Mm.
In this one, the dialogue is great and the delivery is great.
Yeah. And the visuals of it too, like I think this is a beautifully shot show. You know, they really spend their time making the territory look good, but also they've really kind of honed in on the particular look and feel of, you know, a shitty little rusty town of Deros, for lack of any better term.
Hey, settle on, never got hearts of gold.
Yeah, but absolutely.
But also it's very tough to make that kind of interesting at the moment, because people got to remember that Darwin is not the Kakadu. Darwin is not like big vistas and landscapes. It's a scrub. Mm. It's a scrub town. Calling it a city could be a bit weird. but like
for them, it's a city.
And they're on the outskirts. They're on the river. They're in a little town that's out of Darwin. And it played that balance between some really beautiful things and some scrubby, crappy sort of shit places where it's like, oh, it's really fucking hot, but don't go in the water because you'll die. Which is interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sorry, you will die.
Sorry for Predator Tango. We're not hanging shit on Darwin for any particular reason.
Sorry, what you were saying, Pete?
I said that you will die. Don't go in the water.
Don't do that. It's a bad time.
Oh, the lunch position. That's a new favorite word that I learned. You're in the lunch position.
Honestly, like when she bends down to like skim the oil off the top of that river, I'm like, no, I wouldn't do that.
You're in the lunch position. I was like, oh.
Well, also the cadaver dog. It's like, where's Toby? Toby? It's like, oh, no.
Toby's in the lunch position.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that the spread of characters and the spread of events that were underpinning this, like we've said, just felt so authentic. For me, it is the authenticity of the spread of characters and locations and events that are underpinning this whole story. So, you know, between like the Barabashnansa. Because when we filmed Kakadu, we filmed a fishing competition called the Barabash, so it's not too far off. The jumping frog tours, the crocodile park, the local reality television star that's got famous for, you know,
is doing, that a thing?
It's a yes. There is yes. It's 100%
amazing.
Yeah, who you know has like Nat Geo series because he does like cowboy things with crocs and you know, like he it's not it's kind of melding the concept of the crocodile park and the reality TV guy, but it, you know, these are actual things. You know, the white cop who thinks she's friends with all of the local indigenous kids, but is actually a racist piece of shit.
Thank you for bringing that up because that's a massive point I wanted to come to.
Yeah. So the point that I was making was like you know, like the things, the iced coffee references, the Shane Job references, like, you know, I don't know who they had advising them, but you couldn't do it so beautifully without a local helping. So like even though it's a comedy, so all of these elements are pushed further than they are in reality, they all just feel, you know, so perfectly positioned for this place and the series in this place.
I think is the thing that I love so much about both the first season and this season is that, like the first season, it had shit that Tasmanians recognize. Like,
right, so they're very local.
Yeah, and like clearly someone who knows their shit is in there, like writing a chicken feed fucking joke or something like that. That's not just Jimmy, what's his name, who does localized comedy for each state or whatever. That's somebody who's there going, I know this. If we put them in a chicken feed T-shirt as their Jesus pose, that's going to fucking kill in Tasmania, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's like, okay, this is stuff that, you know, the Northern Territorians will really get. But I love that there was that, like very specific stuff there as well that wasn't so fluffy or friendly. Yeah. Like as you were saying about the cop who I thought, fuck, that was a great bit of writing.
Mm-hmm. Like, very apt reference.
So good. Like, yeah, you've got your lovely, you know, friendly copper who, you know, looks after the little kids and is, you know, giving them a ride home and all of those things that, you know, on the surface look like exactly what, you know, we want the coppers to be like, you know, they're community members and stuff like that. But underneath it all,
no, the divisions run deep.
Entirely.
Book ended quite lovely with the other idea of, remember, the white character walking down the road with an axe and she's just talking him about, go on, just put the axe down, come on, you know. It's like, hang on, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, you know, it's a really interesting show. It has the same comedy values, but it also has a bit of an interesting thing to say. Nice little kind of whodunit mystery.
And a masterclass in escalation at one point. And being a comedy, just being able to take it so much further and like, you know what, we're not going to stop. We're just going to escalate again and again and again. And how much more ridiculous can we make it? Which is a lot of fun.
Yep.
Mm.
And having all those.
I think the sad thing to me is it feels very much like they've put a capstone on this. Mm. And that kills me. Because I love these characters and I want to spend more time with them.
But maybe they're done, Quinny.
I know.
They've got more stakes to do.
They do.
Yeah,
they
can. I mean, not these days with the, you know, closing of the Strait of Hormuz in both directions. They won't be able to afford the grey nomad diesel to go around and do their thing.
Jesus Christ.
Bleak. I know. Before we get into
I would love to see them do another story, and I think there's other things that could still be picked up. I would love to see them have a go at telling a story that's based around Kath, and like, you know, where she's coming from or going to.
Okay.
Because I think there is a really important character there who is always there kind of backing things up and, you know, doing her thing. I would love to see that kind of move into a thing. But at the same time, if that's where they leave it, you know, I'm not going to complain.
No, it left it a nice happy ending, basically, which I was like, oh, that's nice. Anyway, we get there. Do you want to go and watch a clip, but do you want to do a rating first and then come back and talk something a bit more spoilery just in case? Or are you happy to keep nattering on?
I'm happy to rate it.
Definitely happy to rate it, yeah. We'll discuss whether we come back for spoilers or just general natter.
Well, good. Yeah. Jill, you said it. Go right ahead. Start us off.
I'm going to give it an 80. Nice. I'm hitting the 80s again. Yeah, I did enjoy it. And I did binge it all in one sitting. I was like, oh, shit, I've got to do Deadlock this weekend. We're talking about it on Tuesday. So I'm like, all right, I'll put it on now. And, yeah, I blitzed through it. Spent my afternoon with that on while I was doing other things.
An afternoon nice. Well spent, Jill.
Yeah.
And chuckled along with.
Yeah.
Nice.
Peter, what did you feel? How did you go?
I don't know. I'm going to go like an 88 for this one. I didn't have the same keeping issues I had with the first one because I kind of knew what to expect. I didn't have to kind of settle into the tone. And while I was annoyed that I felt like I was still at work for many of the shots, I really appreciate a local show that has managed to reach this level of authenticity and is actually speaking to us as an audience and still then being successful with overseas audiences doing the same thing because I think there should be more of it.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, as for all the problems that people can and justifiably have with Amazon, this is a good amount of investment. Like, this is a great return for that investment, I feel. Like, you know, they have put out some really good, strong Australian productions. Some other ones that aren't so strong, that's fine. Yeah. But, you know, like this and the The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart?
Yep.
I like that. That was a good production as well. Not quite as well acted, though. I feel like Deadlock was perfect. Anyway,
different style.
I'm giving it 90. Hey. I thought it was fucking hilarious from start to finish. And twisty and turny enough that I was like, I don't know, where is this going? Yeah. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and always leaving you kind of going, is Steve Bisley going to be a complete asshole? Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Eddie. Who knows?
Yep.
I'm with you, Dion. I'm right up there as well. This was a 90 for me. I didn't binge it. We kind of tried to spread it out over a few nights, but it was real hard to stop. Like, you know, watch a couple of episodes, you're like, we could do three. Yep. You're like, but there's only fucking six of them. The one thing I'll say is that it's that thing of not being able to listen to an album again for the first time. Like, I think the first season was so good because it was such a surprise and the way that you kind of fell in love with the characters and actually warmed to them was part of its charm. Whereas this one, you know, we're already on board, but they also then went further and went a little bit crazier towards the end. So I guess they sort of recognize that you need to go a bit further. So yeah, for me, this is great fucking Australian TV and there should be more of it.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to do a small clip. Warning though, the clip is in vertical video format. So
but I do want to point out that Amazon have fucking done nothing in terms of putting out clips or marketing material for this. Yeah.
There was a cast interview, but I mean, that was very long and you can just watch it yourself. Anyway, we'll go to this quick little clip from the show, gives you a little bit of a smattering of the dialogue, and then we'll come back and talk a few spoilers.
Do you think it's male or female?
I don't know. This croc identified.
Oh, don't be smart.
You meant the arm. I know what you meant. I just want to get dragged into your who, what, when, where, who bullshit. I put the police tape up, stopped a grey nomad from taking a picture of the arm on her iPad. I've done plenty, okay?
Come on, let's go. Look, if we run fast enough, we can catch up with Kath at the waterfall.
No, Superintendent Colkin asked us to assist the local senior sergeant until homicide get here. Don't make that face.
Well, he is not my boss. Oh. And neither are you, so stiff clitties.
Stiff clitties?
That's what I said.
Oh, love.
Just crack with this. I want a word with you lot. Oh, hey, I've got to go piss.
No, you just went.
I've got a UTI, okay? It's like fire ants in my urethra. Oi, listen.
Behind
you cops
police tape, man,
we got a tour coming through here in 45, and I'm not cancelling.
I've already had to refund that mouth from Melbourne because Leon vommed on her shoes.
$55.
Yeah. Well, no, we will not leave, ma'am, because this is a crime scene.
This is not a crime scene. This is my private property. How dare you? The f*** are you doing here?
I'm not here. I'm not me, so... Oh,
you think I wouldn't recognise you coming in here behind those blood polarised lenses?
Sorry. Hey, I'm brave.
You think it's male or female?
Oh, dear. Yeah, what I love about that is that they edited out the fuck and the shit, but they left in the stiff clitties.
stiff clitties.
Just, I love that the censor's like, oh, we don't know what that word means. Oh, it's an Australian word. It's fine. Yeah, it's, okay, great.
I think my favourite quote from this one, I can't remember whether I said it on stream or not, was, it's hot enough to steam a dumpling in my cooch. Just like, wow.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to put up a little spoilery thing. I don't want to go too spoilery because I want people who haven't seen it to be able to enjoy the, you know. Not a lot of people have seen it. Go on our recommendation. It's really good. But we'll take a quick litmus test. Favourite swear word or phrase?
Man, there was too many. I wish I had written some of them down because they were very creative.
I'm going to go hover cunt for a drone. Any drone now is just called hover cunt.
Hover cunt.
Yeah. I nearly walked into a fucking drone the other day and like it was hovering at eye level and I'm pretty sure I was like, oh, fucking hover cunt.
Should have punched it.
Absolutely. Or shot it. That seems much more. Like may have caused a bit of a problem at the old fish market, but you know. Mm.
anyone else got a favorite phrase?
I didn't write them down this time. I just let them wash over me.
Oh dear.
I like the conversation in the chat where if there was a season 3, where would it be set? And Canberra. I like that, Dion.
Yeah, fireworks and porn.
Well, Eddie's going to be having a great time. From Canberra, so it would make sense for us to visit Canberra.
It's true.
Ooh.
Mm. Heaps of jokes about wind farms that ruin the view of the drive-in.
Honestly, every state or territory in Australia is iconic in its own way.
Yes, it is true.
Yeah, like, you know, the temptation would be to go somewhere like Cooper Pedy or something like that and, you know, stick with the really specific things. But I think there is a lot of comedy to be found in, like you say, somewhere that is seemingly boring as fuck. Canberra.
Yeah. Canberra. Yeah.
You know, and then you could have like a whole political thing as well.
Yes. They could find someone like who's dead, but they're
not
actually
not just Canberra. What about Fishwick?
Oh. Jesus.
What about Norfolk Island?
Oh,
my God. Oh.
Yeah, Norfolk.
There you go.
Yeah, now we're talking. So the Cates.
Frankston.
If the Cates are out there and you are listening, we are available for helping you to write the next season.
No. We're available to spitball ideas at you that we'll take partial credit for while you do all the hard work.
We'll pick a city.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe no one suggested this straight away, which is why not Perth?
Why not Perth? Perth will be in the chat. Why not Perth?
In there with a chip on its shoulder going, come on, come to Perth. Do a season in Perth. We'd love to have a Perth season in Perth. Oh, dear. Oh, thanks, Hawkpocalypse. Hawkopolis.
Hawkopocalypse. Wow. And yes, homicide.
Yes.
Yes. Fuck
yes. Fuck yes.
And then we have to have the my ass sign.
Yeah. I look, having spent a bit of time out in, you know, rural New South Wales recently, I think there is a lot to be said for that kind of, you know.
Orange.
Oh, Jesus.
Orange.
Yeah.
Or, fuck, you could do like Bathurst and have a whole thing around the actual
Mount Panorama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to go even a bit weirder, like Albury Wodonga. Depending on which side of the river.
Oh, you could do like that. What was that one? Over the bridge or under the bridge? What was that drama? It was set on the
bridge.
The Mexican and the Swedish one. Yeah, there was that one, and there was the Americanized one.
Whose fucking responsibility is it?
Yeah, the borderline one.
Is it Albury or Wodonga? I love it. Perfect.
Yeah,
I visit Rockhampton once a year. I would love to see a Rocky.
Rockhampton.
I actually, you know what you could do? You could do a Tweed, and have a murder that's committed on the exact dividing line between New South Wales and Queensland during daylight savings.
No. No, but set
that's
it,
even better.
Oh no, but you could set.
Tweed is basically Corpus Fit, so like,
you could set
would,
it. You could
that
set
would
it
be something
during COVID as well. So then you've got the other stuff of like New South Wales in a full lockdown and Queensland who's allowed to just walk around and do stuff, and like, but they can't cross the border, so they're like, "What do you fucking mean?"
And then you could bring in like people coming in from Nimbin and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
Oh, not even just Mullumbimby. Actually, that would be fucking hilarious, Dulcie. Dulcie and Eddie in Mullumbimby, because it is actually the perfect explanation of Mullumbimby.
This little town in Australia.
Exactly. They can set fire
to
their
ghetto.
Coolin ghetto.
This is the thing.
This
like,
shit
I
writes
love
itself.
It yep. does. I love the idea of something that is so specific and so like Australiana, but not like Baz Luhrmann's Australiana. No, this is actual fucking Australiana.
I'm forever calling it Coolin Ghetto now. Thank you, Jill. Sorry, I had not heard.
You
that
haven't
one.
Heard that
no,
before.
No, I had not heard that.
As
one.
A Queenslander, you haven't heard that before.
Lived there my whole life, never heard Coolin Ghetto.
Coolin Ghetto.
Wow.
No.
Even when they were having like all those drive-bys and the
that
rat
was,
bags,
that
and
was
the
a little bit.
Stuff,
I've seen
like...
people get glassed in Coolin Ghetto, but I've never heard
You've
of Coolin Ghetto.
You've never heard
Ghetto.
Of called Coolin Ghetto. There
no.
you go.
No, because there are worse places on the Gold Coast than Coolin Ghetto.
Takes the city side to open the eyes.
It does. It does.
Oh. That's amazing.
Actually, or somewhere like Gympie.
Is it during the muster?
No, it's not even really. I don't know what crime you do in Gympie, though, because it'd be like, it's fine. Just get a few leaves over.
Oh, my God. Gawler, South Australia.
Now Gawler.
You have to go through Gummaraka to get there.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like we've got Hawkopolix. I can't even fucking say his name.
Doesn't matter.
Saying, Fast and Furious in Wollongong just stealing DVD players. I love Wollongong because it has the thing where it's like it's a city right up until the point where it's a beach. this is great. I feel like there's so much potential here for ongoing series of Deadlock.
Yeah,
we can franchise this. We can make it. We can do it. we can push this out.
Yeah, like CSI. We'll just have multiples.
Yeah, like we'll just sell it to every town or city that and just like, okay, you get Deadlock Mullumbimby, you get Deadlock, fucking, I don't know, Birdsville,
Port Pirie. Port
so
Pirie,
good.
Always like worst city in Australia.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. This is perfect. We have now made so much money.
Yeah, hit us up. We'll just throw Australian.
We got paid for ideas.
We'll just throw Australian plays names at you and you do it. dear. Look, is there anything spoilery specific that you want to talk about the show that made it really connect with you?
No.
No.
Really?
I mean, I loved Steve Bisley's character mainly because he was always riding around a little roller, which was hilarious.
Motorized scooter.
The motorized scooter.
Yeah. I had a weird thing with that I thought Steve Bisley's performance was so good that I kind of forgot he was Steve Bisley.
Yes. Yes, honestly.
And also because there were so many parts of him that reminded me of my dad, I found it quite weird. I was like not, my dad is not that much of a bogan or anything like that. But like there was just something about it. I was just like, fuck, it's so real. That's the thing that gets me. It feels so grounded and real. Like the family. What were they?
The Darryls.
The Darryls, yes.
Yeah.
Because they're all right.
And I mean, love the way...
I loved how they all ended up as well. I won't go into what happened to them, but they were just so chaotic. And it looked so right, too. Like, I mean, we talk about all the acting and the dialogue and the stuff there, but their sets and their decisions they made about how they shot the sets and what was in them and how the characters interacted with it was perfect. Like, I felt really, like it was just real.
Yeah. I really like the kind of the approach to Indigenous stuff as well. Like, that they're talking about, like, you know, the ranger, but also the guy who is working for the croc show.
Mm.
And there is this thing of going in, like, Indigenous culture is there, but also it's now being used as a kind of, like, a prop for capitalism in so many different ways.
Mm.
Where it's like, you know, he's selling his Indigenousness to that particular croc show, basically. And you're like, fuck, that's a whole thing, isn't it? Like, that's a different part of the experience.
Mm.
Sorry, I made it serious. I didn't mean to make it serious.
No, look, it's all quite deftly handled for a funny little, like a silly little, you know, comedy show set in regional, like a place that most people, when they think of Australia, they don't think of fucking Darwin. Much like when people think of Australia, they didn't think of Tasmania. I like that it's taking a different look at different places, and they all have their own little quirks, and they just kind of ramp it up enough to make it like slightly approachable. So I like what they did in this one. I like what they did in the last one. I would like to see some more regional stuff. Come on, we can do Albury Wodonga.
It's interesting because not long before this, I'd also just been watching a lot of, Artful Dodger. It's produced in Australia, specifically
Sydney.
Yeah, legit, it's shot about 500 meters from our office. which is a bizarre thing when I, you know, see the little sign saying cast this way and I go the other way. but yeah, I know, Suki Moala. But like that is one of those ones where it's like, okay, it's Australian, but it's such a different flavor of Australiana. And, you know, this one does so well. Mm. Like, I don't have any problem with, Artful Dodger, but I feel like this one just does it in a way. And admittedly, Artful Dodger's on Disney, so it's never going to fucking... We're not going to hear the words hover cunt on Disney Plus.
No. I got another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
A Tri-City murder mystery. Armadale, Armadale, and Armadale. Three states, three cities.
Oh, I love
this. This is referencing, it's like someone's
mystery
dying.
Is where you've actually sent your package to.
Yes. Armidale or Armadale, and then which state?
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Down
now they're trying to work out where the body has been sent.
Oh, I'd love it if like Eddie went to one Armadale and Dulcie goes to a different Armadale.
And Kath is waiting for them in the third.
At the third Armadale.
I love it. I love it. Do you hear us, Kates? Do you hear us?
Yes.
No, I feel like Abby should come back in.
Oh, Abby needs to.
Abby goes to the other, the wrong, everyone just goes to the wrong Armadale and then they all find that the murders are linked somehow.
Ooh, yes, ooh. I like it.
This is the danger of what we do, is that we have a lovely fucking time talking about a TV show and then we imagine the cool shit.
We write our own version, yes.
Yeah.
Or that movie wasn't quite up to scratch. Here's how we would do it.
Yeah. Admittedly, I mean, there is an entire YouTube series called, you know, How It Should Have Ended. But
like anybody in the chat's even asking us, but I mean, they come back in a few weeks, so.
Speaking of that, what are we doing next week?
I think we're doing a roundup next week.
Oh, where's my... I'll get that.
Quinny, what happened to the WAPA?
I just decided to not do it this time. I thought better of it.
I'll try and get the whip crack in for the next time so that actually goes off that way. Mm. What do we do? It's Daredevil Born Again Season 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Monarch Season 2.
Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2.
Yeah.
And For All Mankind.
For All Mankind. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, okay, yeah, cool.
And then the week after that is Maul, Shadow Lord.
Yeah, lots of TV this month.
Lots of
TV. I mean, we're all coming down off a sugar high from Easter.
Got my clearance chocolates. I got a bucket of clearance chocolate.
Perfect. Love it.
I'm lucky. Easter just does not touch me because I don't give a shit about chocolate.
I just thought you didn't have.
Couldn't be me, Quinny.
Just thought you didn't have any joy in your heart anymore. It's like, in fact, Easter doesn't
Easter's
mean anything to me.
About a dead zombie coming back from the grave, like that, I can get behind. I'm into that. But you know,
how do you have a dead chocolate? Zombie? What's a dead zombie is a difference. Is you're either a zombie or you're dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then technically Jesus is a ghoul. There you go.
Yeah. True. It's more of a lich because he's got powers.
Yeah. Correct.
It's a zonk.
Peter, I thought you of all people would appreciate the accuracy of going, I think he's actually a lich. Technically speaking, he comes back from the dead and he's got superpowers, so he's a lich.
Yes. And I also am very excited because I've realized that my particular hyperfocus of the last many months, I've found more people to share in it. The joy that is Dungeon Crawler Carl. There may even be somebody else in this very show who is reading the books. Very excited.
It's not me.
I wonder who. By process of elimination. I wonder who it could be.
It's not me.
So Peter is going to be...
I feel like I've already mentioned it before, but yes, I am also reading the books.
Very exciting to me. Super, super exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think it was last week, they've officially announced that the TV series executive produced by Seth MacFarlane has been announced to be going to a streamer. Guess which streamer it is?
Don't know, Quinny. Tell us.
Go on. Where do you think it'd be, like, a really probably in need of a high budget, a big, goofy sci-fi show?
TikTok 20-second videos.
Peacock,
of course.
What the fuck?
I would have said Peacock?
Paramount mm-hmm. or Amazon, like a yep. big player.
I know, right? yeah. You know, and so
well,
the
I mean,
only
wasn't Twisted Metal a Peacock show?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I can kind of hang my hat on is it's like they didn't completely fuck up Twisted Metal.
They got their diamonds in the rough, I suppose.
But at the same time, it's not like it was a huge budget production.
But it was, yeah, okay. Yeah. Look, I wish them all the best and I don't know anything about it.
I know. And I know that we've now hit the point with Dion that he will never read it. Because
no, I'm too.
Okay, Parks and Recreation. Like, let's not throw stones.
Yes.
Savage.
Fucking attack.
Snaps. Yeah. Snaps like, here for I Peter. Am. Yes.
I'm just looking out into the grass and the leaves and then suddenly, bam, from beside, there's Peter. And I'm like, clever girl.
Yeah.
She fucking mongoed me just like that.
She what? Specific reference, Quinny.
Yes.
She what?
Yes. Mongo is appalled. I am appalled.
The only Mongo I know is in Blazing.
The levels to that reference. And yeah, just well done.
Thank you.
The only Mongo I know is in Blazing Saddles. So
yes. And Horcopolix, that guy, has made the point that the TED TV show is on Peacock. And Seth MacFarlane probably has a stake in the company, which... I did watch the D&D episode of the Ted TV show, like with the animated teddy bear. And had Brendan Lee Mulligan as the D&D master, and it was really fucking entertaining.
I might have to find good. This episode now.
You kind of do. Yeah. It is pretty fucking good. So, yeah, I'm like, maybe there is something to be said for Peacock. Who knows?
Or excellent. Seth MacFarlane.
Maybe that will get us into the next one. Yes. But yeah. Yes. Oh, look, you know, go watch your TV. You've still got Daredevil, still got For All Mankind, still got Monarch Legacy of Monsters. Don't grimace like that, Peter.
may or may not see you guys next week. Yeah. I've not watched any of those yet.
Oh, okay. That is.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You. And I mean, you're also allowed to just show up and say, I've done different homework.
Yeah.
if you want else. To, you're allowed.
Yeah, you can bring your own. It's a potluck. Bring your own show.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's just going to get really weird for me trying to produce things. I'm like, so no, you got that clip from that show I didn't tell you about
clip
that I'm turning
show,
up?
Dan's
I'm like,
favorite.
Yeah, Dan loves a clip show.
It's so
especially clip shows that he can't prepare for.
No, it's going to be fantastic. Is this going to be the elf clip over and over and over again? That's all.
World's
that
best coffee.
Oh, congratulations. All right. Thank you very much. Look, wonderful to understand that all of you enjoyed Deadlock Season 2. Petey had some amazing things to say. Sorry that the tech crapped out on you twice.
Yeah. And to the people who are listening to the podcast now, know that this has been hours of me fucking around trying to work out how to stitch that back together.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry, Quinny.
That's just because okay. Quinny's a very slow learner, and he'll get there one day. So we've got to be slow.
Wow,
clever boy!
Fucking Quinny's just fucking getting smacked around.
I need to do a bit of that thing where I'm keeping the two raptors at bay.
Yeah, exactly.
We're on all sides now.
Yeah,
go on, Jill, stick a boot in.
Well, his internet didn't crap out this week. So hey! I'm going for him.
Oh, McKinney.
Oh dear. Thank you everyone in the chat. Thanks for joining in and doing stuff. Go and watch Deadlock Season 2. In one again. Watch Season 1 and Season 2.
Get it up,
yeah. Fucking funny. Get it dog up, yeah.
I gotta say, I'm actually kind of keen to do a fucking binge of it all. Like, I'm keen to do season one straight into season two. I think it's.
I mean, my new swear that I've been using since Saturday when I started watching the show is rat dog cunt.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Excellent.
That and is on very powerful.
And on that wonderful note, you're all rat dog cunts. See you later. All right.
Bye.
In a world full of heroes,
have MPs. Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestion, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes it moves. Until next time, stay awesome.